You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Thank you for being here with us today. I'm Rhonda McBride. Please pardon my mixed metaphor, but Juno is indeed at a crossroads when it comes to cruise ships. The big ones, anyway. We are going into our second tourist season without their presence, and now we have the prospect of several voter initiatives that could potentially limit their impact in the future. Over the coming weeks, here on Juno Afternoon, we hope to have a series of conversations about this, so think of today's as the first installment of many. But today we are not going to get into a debate about the issues. We will be talking with two members of the group Protect Juno's Future today, and then on Monday we'll hear from Juno Cruise Control, and after that we'll have more discussions with both of the groups involved sitting down together and giving us maybe an education on what the cruise ship industry means to Juno. But joining us now, the former mayor of Juno, Bruce Botello, and Laura Martinson, owner of Caribou Crossings, and they are very involved in this group to protect Juno's future, and they are in opposition to the ballot initiatives that we will be considering perhaps this year. But anyway, first of all, Bruce, I would like to start with you since you've got a long history of watching the cruise ship issue in our community. Why is it important for you to get a conversation going?
Thanks for the question, Rhonda. I would start by saying that all sides appreciate that the cruise industry brings a lot to Juno, and that it is an important economic driver. And what I think is reflected in the initiatives is also reflective of tensions that have been with our relationship as a community with the industry virtually over the last 30 years, which is how much is too much? And can we sustain the growth and protect Juno's quality of life? And I think that is perhaps where there are fundamental differences. Everyone, I think on both sides, values Juno's quality of life. And I would like to think that those on in support of the petition also recognize that there is a great economic value to the industry, particularly as we've seen over the last decades, a dramatic decline in government employment, which had been the mainstay of our economy for three or four decades. But long and short, the importance of the questions reflect the importance of the industry and not the cruise lines themselves, but the local entrepreneurs who have invested in the community, employ hundreds of people who are local residents and who draw their livelihoods from those visitors.
So I'm going to go to Laura Martinson, who has a business at Caribou Crossings. And Laura, it's interesting that the title of this group that you form, Protecting Juno's Future, either side of this debate could claim that they are trying to do that, protect Juno's future. There's a little bit of irony in that. Or was that intentional?
Well, for me, you know, when I think about Juno's future, obviously I think about myself, but I also think about my daughter. And I wonder what kind of community will she grow up in? What kind of opportunities will be there for her? Will she have the same opportunities I had? Will she have the same economic opportunities that I've been afforded in my own hometown? So I feel very fortunate that I get to live here where my grandfather is, where my parents are. Now my daughter's here. But will she be able to be here near me? If I choose to stay here and retire here, will my daughter and her family be able to do the same without a really sustainable economic future? That really gets called into question.
Well, we've certainly had a taste last year and then going into this year with the absence of the big cruise ships and the impacts at large. Bruce, what do you think is the aha moment in all of this for you as someone who has watched Juno's growth and development over the years?
My experience serving on the mayor's economic stabilization task force over the course of roughly 6 to 8 months in 2020, we were responsible for coming up with proposals to try and save Juneau businesses. And we, over the course of those months, heard from numerous businesses, individuals, whose businesses were on the brink and were only sustained by a combination of federal, state, and local monies that were made available to them to be able to survive a season, and actually more than a season, because we're talking about businesses whose primary income comes during the 5 months of the cruise year. And so to the extent that you've taken that out, they have actually been without significant revenues in this particular case since October of 2019, and were expected to hang on until 1st of May of 2021. And here we are, and faced with the highly likely prospect that we're not going to see a season here. There is the possibility that by August we may see some ships, presuming that some of the larger lines are able to deploy ships, are able to sell spaces. But for the most part, if we're unable to do that, we're talking about businesses again who are going to have to make it until May of 2022. And so I guess my aha was the discovery and increased awareness of the economic devastation that the absence of the ships would have had, but for massive intervention of government money, that may not be there this coming year.
Laura, how about you? You are directly plugged into the business community. What is it that the community may not realize that you see every day?
You know, from my perspective, I see the way my small local business interacts with the entire community every single day. So between the electricians I'm hiring, the CPA I'm calling, the employees that I'm hiring, the artists that are making the work that I sell in my store, my one little business, you know, I totaled it up the other day, it's over 130 other local businesses that I do business with. And that's, you know, that's aside from 70 Alaskan artists and 125 local women that we've hired over the decades. And so that's just one little tiny piece. And I imagine if every other local business like mine is doing the same, to me it looks like it's like roots on a tree, and it's all sustaining us together. That's holding up our entire community together. And I feel like those roots run so deep, and they're so vast. I don't think it's easy for everyone in the community to see how far those roots stretch from each local business. You know, we really are all in cruise tourism together.
That's probably a good analogy, right? Is so much of the knowledge about how tourism and the cruise industry affects us is all kind of underground, a lot that we don't know that's happening that affects us. So, Bruce, tell me a little bit about the issues, and we'll ask the same question to the Juneau Cruise Control Group. What are the issues that we're going to have to keep on the front burner to make decisions about this? In your mind, give us some bullet points.
Well, if one looks at the initiatives themselves, the overall outcome is to limit the number of passengers that will be able to be hosted in Juneau. And that's accomplished through, first, eliminating cruise ship visits on Saturdays, second, by limiting their visiting hours from 7 a.m. Or 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., which has some consequences that I think most people would not expect, which is, in short, the realization that not all ships can leave at the same time. Passengers are going to have to be on board 2 hours before a ship sails. And if you're talking about being out by 7, you're going to have some ships that are going to have to leave by 4:30. Passengers have to be on board by, let's say, 3 o'clock. You've already eliminated tour opportunities locally or the opportunity to shop. And the third, probably most far-reaching, is to say that after the 2026 season, no ship with a gross weight of 100,000 tons or more could call on Juno. Well, we already have vessels of that size, and if you were to take those that showed up in Juno in 2019, the effect of that would be to eliminate roughly, I think, a third of the cruise ships, but a majority of the passengers. And so those are, I think, the dramatic consequences of the proposal, of the proposals, I should say. I mentioned, I think, earlier that as we were discussing, that the mayor had a visitor industry task force, which completed its work in March of 2020, presented it to the assembly immediately at the point that pandemic hit. The assembly properly turned its entire focus into dealing with the pandemic and is only now in a position to take up these kinds of issues. The report, among other things, calls on the city to take a more proactive role in planning the role of the cruise industry in Juneau, that we should have full-time staff that are working the issue, that we should be taking a much more active role in the controlling the ship arrivals and departures to eliminate, among other things, the peaks during the course of the week, and to be more long-term, talking about where we think the industry should go in Juneau, how much larger it should be, how do we manage. And to me, those are approaching this in a systematic way. Getting maximum input is by far a much healthier way than simply embedding in our local constitution, which is the charter, three provisions that have nothing to do with government structure, but attempt to manage manage cruise ships through charter amendments.
So perhaps this initiative may have some good things, whether it passes or not, because it's putting the city and borough's feet to the fire to act on those recommendations that sort of got sidelined when the pandemic set in.
Well, that's certainly an argument, and I think it's been advanced that this is certainly going to precipitate dialogue. I wouldn't want to suggest that the assembly wasn't prepared to take this up until the initiatives were made public. It was clearly a plan to take it up, and personally would give it the space to run its course. I understand others feel very frustrated that actions have not been taken before, and this unfortunately is viewed as their only alternative, but that's not where I come down on it. And I guess having dealt with the cruise industry at either the local or state level since the late 80s, I have a more, I won't say relaxed view, but one that recognizes it takes time to make change. And change is more effective and long-lasting if people take the time to work through the issues, examine all sides dispassionately, and come to a solution that a vast majority of the public will accept.
It is very tough when you have a pandemic that just sort of thwarts everything. One of the things, and I wanted to talk with you, Laura, about this, is you do have a fundraiser or a get-together that's being billed as the launch to the official kickoff to the tourism season, and that's happening as soon as you leave the studio.
Yeah, so one of the things I love about being in the tourism industry is we are a fun bunch. We are the hospitality folks, and we, over the last 15 months, have really missed this kind of social gathering with each other and with our community. So we're going to be at one of our very favorite local spots, Deckhand Dave's, today from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., and we're going to have buttons and flyers and sign-up sheets of all the different ways you can sign up to protect Juno's future. But really, we're just so excited to be able to get together safely and kick off another summer season in Juno, even though it looks a little bit different than what we're used to. I think we're all just really looking forward to getting back out there and getting back together with our own industry.
Well, we look forward to talking more about this. And like I said, we think of this as sort of the first installment in a deeper conversation. And we are going to be hearing from Juno Cruise Control on Monday, and also an introductory conversation. And I hope what we can do is sit down, pick some topics, and really dive into them. Because really, isn't this more about something other than just pros and cons here in this discussion?
You know, I think the really, really important thing for me, for everyone in our community to know, is that we live here and these are our friends and neighbors and this is our home, and we want what's best for Juno just as much as anyone else does. And I think the best way to get there is real inclusive dialogue with open listening ears and empathy. And I really think we can get there as a community if we just keep listening to each other.
Bruce, you get the last word on this.
I think Laura has eloquently stated our view.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us today, former Mayor Bruce Patella and Laura Martinson, owner of Caribou Crossings. Thanks, both of you, for being with us today.
Thank you.